And on the line, we've got Kerry Byrne from Save Public Housing Collective. G'day, Kerry. How are you?
Oh, good. Thank you, Annie.
Oh, it's great to hear from you. You're here to tell us about what's been going on. There's been two reports that have been put out recently saying that knocking down the 44 public housing towers announced by the Victorian Labor government last year could be avoided, and it would be cheaper and better for the tenants.
Sure. Okay. Well, I'll start with that. Basically, both projects focus on the environmental, social and economic benefits of refurbishing existing public housing, and their findings confirm that retrofitting and upgrading existing housing stock, when sometimes combined with strategic new building, it's technically feasible, cheaper and better for people and the planet. It saves energy and other resources, and ultimately it reduces greenhouse gas emissions. So just to mention the specific projects, if you'd like, one team of architects and other design professionals looked at a building at Atherton Gardens, that's the Fitzroy high-rise estate, and one of those architects, Nigel Bertram, he's written a piece for The Conversation, so you can check that out. But basically, they looked at three scenarios. Two involved retrofitting to different extents, and the other was demolishing and rebuilding. So across the benchmarks of construction costs, embodied carbon and construction time, they found there were savings of, say, between 20 and nearly 40% on average through retrofitting compared with constructing an equivalent new building. So he asserts that across the 44 towers, this could save around $1.5 billion in construction costs. So basically, you modernise what's there and provide better heating and cooling, upgrade the the green spaces. And that's what the other team at Office have also found. So this is their third look at proposing a design for a public housing estate, which is, you know, on the cusp of being demolished. So basically, Office comprises Simon Robertson and Steve Minturn, and their catchphrase is retain, repair and reinvest. So they looked at Flemington, and they propose keeping the four existing towers. And where there are car parks now, they want to build five mid-rise buildings and put all the car parking underground. And they've also gone into some detail about modernising the existing towers. So that would involve double glazing windows, better disability access through wider doorways, and also balconies to give more floor space. I think they might be covered in balconies. And just giving the interiors and the exteriors a more contemporary look, and a central green space, and the retention of 65% of the mature trees. And look, just to cut to the chase with the costings, they've based their costings on the government's own costings. They managed to get that document through FOI.
Wow, that's amazing, considering how secretive the Victorian government's been.
Absolutely, absolutely. But they're proposing a saving of $364 million for the Flemington estate alone.
Now, these outcomes that you're talking about are obviously great for the existing tenants and for the general public who are taxpayers in the Victorian state. Yeah. But obviously the Victorian government and developers don't share this view.
Well, you'd have to ponder whether the decision to demolish was dictated by private housing market imperatives rather than by the tower's condition. And, of course, we know, Annie, that there's this thing called managed decline where they intentionally let things deteriorate, you know, and one of the issues is the plumbing, that they were going to upgrade all the plumbing in the towers And last year, Gabrielle DeVitre, the Greens housing spokesperson, found out that they're not going to do that anymore. And that is a big issue. And also the other reason, in answer to your question, stupidly, the government wants to, they don't want to manage public housing anymore, right? They just want it off their hands. So even if they employ this crazy ground lease model where they pay the community housing providers a lot of money over 40 years to run the places, they'd rather have it off their hands. So,
quite interested in the tenants themselves, the public housing tenants. They've actually did a class action. They went with the support of the
Inner Melbourne Community Legal
Centre. Yeah, they actually took this to court, and they wanted access to the proposal, the government's proposal, as well as their backup material that showed that it was the only way they could go ahead is by demolishing the 44 towers, which is what the government's stance is. But when they went to the Supreme Court, the Supreme Court granted, and I find this name just so ironic, it's called Homes Victoria, public interest immunity. This is just scandalous, you'd say.
Yeah, well, the irony is, look, the bigger case is about the case is being brought because they're arguing, Inner Melbourne Community Legal and the tenants are arguing the government failed to consider the human rights of the tenants and they failed to consider refurbishment options. And the main judge over the trial had remarked it was unfortunate the substance of the government's decision making hadn't been made public. However, a different judge had to conduct the hearings into the actual documents. So it was sort of a kind of a separate issue. Yes, and he ruled that cabinet privilege would prevail over the public's right to know. And so, you know, the question that I pose is, if the government made the decision to demolish based on sound technical expertise, then why wouldn't they want the affected tenants and the general public to have confidence in their decision by releasing those documents?
Well, it's interesting to me that most of these 44 towers are placed on prime real estate. At the time they were built, they weren't prime real estate, but of course now they are. And it is just pretty appalling that everybody is supposed to sit on their hands. They've already given out a contract to John Hollins to remove five towers in Carlton, Flemington and North Melbourne, and the contract is $100 million. I'm not sure people realise out there that they're doing this in our name, basically. Where are all these people supposed to go?
Well, they somehow managed to find places for them, whether it's private rental. In the case of Barrack Beacon, Port Melbourne estate, which should never have been pulled down, it was in good condition, it wasn't old, it wasn't rotting, they bought some units for people at the cost of just under $1 million. Just under $1 million they bought places. But in answer to your question, Annie, the point I want to make is, what about the 53,000 applicants on the waiting list? And, you know, homelessness in Victoria keeps rising as per the last census. So all those people who are waiting for housing, who are in severe housing insecurity or homelessness, they're not helped by these redevelopments, because obviously the redevelopments have to house the existing tenants first. So it just further clogs up the waiting list.
But they also won't house those people because in those places, because the percentage of public housing people or even community housing people, which aren't the same, is minuscule in relation to the private rental market places that are being created.
Yes, well, that's right. I mean, we can only speculate on how that's going to go in the towers, but you're right, because according to what they've told us so far, they're only going to increase the capacity by 10%, which means 1,000 more people, but only about 660, community housing places. And whereas across the 44 towers, they're going to create 30,000 extra units in all, but only 10% will be for people in the most need. You're right. So it's a lot of demolition, a lot of billions of dollars for what exactly? Just to probably put people back into exorbitant private rental, because we know they talk about affordable housing, but the government's affordable housing properties are only 10% below market rent, so that's not affordable, is it?
No, and the other thing about it is that it's not just about the future for public housing tenants or even community housing tenants. It's actually for the entire property owning groups of people and private rental people, because if you've got public housing stock, it means that they are not able to put rents up holus bolus at their own whim, and people have no alternatives.
Yeah, look, I've argued that if they were seriously rolling out public housing to the extent that it's needed, to cater for, when I say 53,000 applications, it's really double that in terms of the number of people those applications represent. If you were really doing a mass rollout of public housing construction, you could siphon off 20% for people on moderate to average incomes, because we know that the private rental market is really exorbitant, and we know that people are suffering and people are driven into homelessness due to those high rents. So does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. Saying? And I was just, we need to finish, but you're part of Save Public Housing Collective. What's the next move for you guys?
That's a good question. Just a lot of different things. I'm more interested in structural change and getting the not-for-profits to speak out about this. I'm sure there will be rallies in the future. We don't have anything planned at the moment, but you can always email us, savepublichousingcollective@gmail.com, and we'll give you an invitation to the next meeting, which will be in a few weeks in March at the Fitzroy high-rise community rooms. Yeah, so, look, there's always something happening, but no rallies coming up, but keep your eyes out on what's happening with the red brick towers, Annie, because we believe demolition may be imminent.
Yeah, I think you're right, because I've been close by it and I've seen the fences that have been put up. Thanks very much, Kerry, for spending some time with us this morning.
That's fine. Thanks very much, Annie.